as we begin the Grace Believers Bible study, I'm glad everybody's here. It's great to preach to and to teach to people who are saved, but the first purpose is, the Bible says in Timothy, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we're going to cover a little bit about what that means, of course. But it also says that God will have all men. That's his wish. That's not, he didn't make it happen. But he provided a man named Jesus Christ, which is God manifest in the flesh, to come into this world. He's a just man to die for the unjust person, which is all human beings. So the will of the Father is that all men be saved. That's the first thing. And then once you get that down pat, then, which is very simple, we're going to draw it up, is to what? Come into the knowledge of the truth. And that's why we preach and edify people. Now, you've never seen me here in a t-shirt. Ever. But I wore this for a specific reason, and I want everybody to see what it says. And this is, you can take it to bank. Sims?
Rick?
Read that, Trish.
Because I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you.
Anyway, would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for letting us have a meeting here, a place to meet, people to preach to, the Word of God, which is the King James Bible, rightly divided, so we can create no confusion out of this. There is not a contradiction in it. We just praise you for a perfect book. We praise you for people that are here. Just thanking you for saving each and every one of us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, I'm going to read this before I ask you if you've got any questions. Somebody brought, one of the guys in the class down there at church Sunday, brought this in. Some of you may be familiar with this guy's name. I'm not. Has anyone ever heard of Tony Alamo? It's Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. And undoubtedly, it's a big deal throughout the whole world. It's a world newsletter. And I just want to show you something and read it to you, because there's a lot of money involved in this. And when you have a worldwide ministry, when you pass out and give these things away, if John's a printer, and he knows that it costs a lot of money to do these things in color and newsletters. But the guy brought it to me because it was left on his windshield. And he wanted me to read this right here to our class there, and plus this one. And I want your opinion on this. Once you listen to it, I want you to listen to this very closely. Honestly. Because there's people in this room right now that's going to think this is wonderful. Is it wonderful or is it not wonderful? Now, we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to read you this man's testimony. Testimonies are powerful because they're real. But is someone saved or is someone lost? In the world religious system, remember, religion will send you to hell. They're man-made. Religion is. Now, this is his testimony. My Lord and my God, have mercy. It is what he says. If you're like me and would rather not be damned, well, that's true, but instead be saved, well, yeah, that's what I want, then say this prayer to God. No, you don't have to say a prayer to God to be saved. All you have to do is to trust something. You trust, not in that marker there, you know, that one either. You trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and he was resurrected on the third day for your justification, to pay for your sins, in other words. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to pray to God. You ain't got to pray to Jesus. You can just say, Lord, I trust. You heard the word, or some people use the word believe. I trust that Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected to pay for my sins. It's a done deal. Nothing else has to be done. You can thank the Lord, but here's what he said. Say this prayer to God. And let me tell you something else. You don't say a prayer ever You pray a prayer if you're going to pray. You don't say one. Saying anything doesn't mean nothing. Now listen, this is just what he says. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. Well, that sounds good. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That sounds great. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for my forgiveness of all my former sins. Oops. Former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's true. And that He sits on the right hand side of God at this moment. Listen to this. Hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. This man is confessing his sins, and there's 613 different ordinances that he could violate. So what sin is it that he forgot? He's not going to remember every one of them. So he's confessing, as in 1 John 1:9, which is not written to you whatsoever. I open up the door of my heart and he's trying to do something. I invite you into my heart. No, the Lord has invited you to trust in what He did in Calvary. You're not inviting the Lord to do anything. The Lord done it for you. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. In other words, wash. That's something future. What do we know? Watch. This happened in the year all these things are dead. Pat?
Well, there's a hope.
I know. We got some.
Throw them dead on the way.
Just like our sins, they're all dead.
They're all dried up.
In the year AD 33,
yeah,
they were paid for by Jesus Christ.
Or in that area.
But now,
fine.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. What did He say? Wash all my filthy sins away. He's waiting to get His sins washed away. They're already done. Because look at here. You were born in here, right? This is, I'll use me, 1940. Why, when all my sins were paid for, and that guy's sins right there were, in AD 33 on Calvary by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, why is he asking the Lord to wash away his sins in the year 2013? It's because he's never trusted what happened at Calvary.
Or never been taught.
Well, if he's never been taught, he still is not trusting because he's anticipating. Now, watch this.
Who are you talking about?
This guy's name is Tony Alamo Ministries, Worldwide Ministries. This is his deal. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will, that's future, you will forgive my sins and save my soul. No, you will again is, you're going to do it when I say this prayer is what he said. No. You've already done it. Now all you do is trust it. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. Well, no, he ain't. Not by this right here. He's lost. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my... You're going to love this. I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command. And sin no more. Is there a person in here that can sin no more?
No.
You're all sinners and so am I. I'm going to sin.
No, we're no good.
I'm still alive. That's why. Your body... He's got tainted blood running around in it, and it came from your great-great-great-great-granddaddy Adam. In Romans 5:12, it tells you, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin it passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's inclusive of everybody in the entire world. This guy ain't saved based upon his testimony. And now he is out and got a worldwide ministry, and he's preaching and teaching, this is what you need to do. Is that not a shame? That's called another gospel, by the way, and I'm going to talk about it. Yes, Trish?
I'll make the same comment I made Sunday. Even his own testimony contradicts itself, because if he's confessing all of his future sins, but he's saying, I'm going to sin no more, what is he confessing if he's going to sin no more?
Exactly. Is that not crazy? He didn't think about that. Man didn't get saved. Okay. Now, I want to cover before I do that, this is an open class. I got something up here, but I probably ain't going to follow it at all. Got any questions? Mary? Benny, you got some. What are they? Lay it on.
Well, the first one I want to know is, when Jesus comes back, he's going to rule with a rod of iron.
Rod of iron, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I didn't think Jesus done nothing bad. I thought it was the devil that done the bad things. Just like me appalling, it, a lot of people say that's the devil's works.
No, it ain't.
About you falling.
No, here's what people try to say. And I remember Mary asking me the question, because she's sick. Remember you asked me that question? But if I get sick, is that because I've sinned? And people will tell you that in churches. No, so what's your question? You didn't fall because the Lord caused you to fall. And you didn't fall because the devil made you fall. You fell because you're a human being.
But when Jesus comes back, he's going to rule with a
rod of
iron.
With an iron hand, yes.
Well, he was
now, that's not bad.
He was angry at the temple when they were buying and selling and all that. He got angry.
In other words, what that means is he is not going to put up with any sin. Here's where we go. We're talking about once the last person. And that's why it's so important that we preach to people that are not saved, to get them saved. We don't save anybody. There ain't a preacher alive ever saved anybody. Not one. The Holy Spirit does. He takes sinful people like you and me, and I'm over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells you around verses 19, 20, 21, he said, we're ambassadors for Christ. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:20. We're all, once you're saved, you're in the body of Christ. We'll talk about it. But you become an ambassador for Christ. And when you witness to somebody, the Holy Spirit will have someone else like Pat to come behind, say, come behind Benny. And Benny watered it. I mean, planted it. You watered it. But the Holy Spirit giveth the increase. The Holy Spirit saves people. Human beings, preachers, teachers do not save a soul. But you got preachers out there who just like the gunslinger back in the old West. They want to notch their gun. Oh, we had 300 baptized this year. I saved so many. I'm a soul winner. There ain't no soul winners except the Holy Spirit. Yes, John?
And the question is, we got to ask is, who's he going to rule with a rod of iron? Body of Christ? Or Israel, or who?
Right. Now here's the...
that's left after the rapture is what I think.
It ain't going to be none of us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to draw it here real quick.
Because it's in Revelation.
It'll be after the tribulation.
Well, watch this. We know he is in. We know he is in the third heaven, right?
Yeah.
There's three heavens. He's in the third heaven. And he's sitting up there right now. On a throne, but it's not his throne, it's God's throne.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on the right hand side, which is this. Jesus Christ sitting right there. Now, when the last person, that's why I'm saying it's so important that we teach and preach and share the word, let the Holy Spirit convict them of their sinfulness and trust the Lord by this right here is called the blood of Christ. This is the gospel of your salvation. Now, when the last person is saved in the church, and that's what this is here, it's a spiritual invisible body, it's a church, then we go up at the rapture. This is the rapture. And it's the word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible, it's the gathering out in 2 Thessalonians. We go up and we meet the Lord in the air. We take on a new body. Okay, that's another thing. But the Lord comes down here, we've got our new body, and we go with Him to the judgment seat of Christ. And then wherever Jesus Christ is, that's where we're at. No matter where. Because Christ is in us, we're in Him. Now, so after that, you've got 7 years of trials and tribulations. Me and Danny was talking about that earlier here. When the Antichrist, he's going to come on the scene. The false prophet's going to come on the scene. And then after the first 3.5 years, he's going to set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem and say, I'm God, worship me. And then there's another 3.5 years of all hell breaking loose. That's the wrath of God. That's the 7 vials, the bowls over here, the last 3.5. Now, after that, what happens? Second coming of Christ. That's what happens there. Zechariah 14, you ain't got to go there, but Zechariah 14 is whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and He is going to destroy His enemies. Then, for 1,000 years, and what that is, this is the millennial reign of Christ. This is where He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Over who? The Jews. But you know what? You're going to be with Him, but He's not going to reign over you. You're in His body.
What's He going to
do? You look puzzled.
No.
What rule of wire? Why is He going to do that?
Because there's not going to be
free will.
He's going to write the law into their hearts. He's going to have a new covenant of Jeremiah 31:31. You'll come back with Him now. And you'll reign with Him because He's going to set up His... See, right now, He's on God's throne. But down here, it's His throne. But it's not His throne until He sets it up down here. We're going to be right there with Him. We're in Christ. Christ is in us.
Ruling the people that are iron.
Now, here's the thing.
Only for the 1,000 years. Sure. And then we're not going to be in that heavenly throne. I mean, the
earth. We're down here with Him because He's down here.
I know it, but after the 1,000 years, we're not going to be with Him.
Wherever He's at. See, we don't know. The Bible does not tell you where we're going to be after the 1,000 years. We're in Christ wherever He is, as far as I know, forever.
That's the Jews' kingdom.
The people are down here. This is earthly here.
That's for the Jews.
Yes.
Earthly. That's the Jews. But we're here with Jesus. He's ruling over those Jewish peoples with a rod of iron. In other words, there ain't going to be no sin going on.
Satan is...
See, where was Satan at? Here's where Satan is. Right here at the second coming. He is placed in the bottomless pit down here. Until the end of the 1,000 years. He's going to be... Now, at the second coming here, the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Right here. That's where the false prophet's going to be. And the Antichrist. If I'm not wrong, I'm not 100% of this, but I can pretty well guess, as Danny and I was talking earlier, the false prophet's going to be the Pope. The false prophet and the Antichrist are going to be thrown into, yes, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. But, at the same time, this is where Satan is going to be thrown. He's going to be kicked out, and I think that's Revelation. You know, don't hold me to this. I think it's Revelation 12 that he is kicked out of heaven. Now, but he's going to be chained for 1,000 years. That's this 1,000 years. And then he's going to be loosed, the Bible says, for a little season. Go to Revelation 20. Let's look at it real quick. Revelation 20. And this is what's going to happen, guys. You're not going to have to worry about it. You're not going through it. Verse 7 of Revelation 20. And when the 1,000 years are expired, that's this 1,000 years I've got drawn up here, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, right here. He's going to be loosened out, right here. So that's, we'll put him coming over here. Right there. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed, made like a circumference, the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, Zion, and the fire came down from heaven. See, there's a bunch of these people in here that's going to join with Satan, and they're going to fight against God, but ain't going to be no fight. And fire came down from God out of heaven and did what? And devoured them. They're just nothing. I'd seriously doubt if there's any ashes left. But so Satan is going to be here, devoured, and those people that come out of here, that's joined with the Antichrist. Okay, so that's what happens there. Your question again was ruling with a rod of iron. He will rule this. There will be no sickness in this time period right here. We know from, I think it's Isaiah 65, that the infant's going to live to be at least 100 years old. Yeah. There's children going to be born in here. Now look at me. I want to tell you something here. Once we take on a new body, right here, we've talked about this, those in the grave already, their spirits in heaven, they're going to, and then us that may be still alive, we're both all going to get new bodies. We're going to get one like Jesus Christ got out of Luke chapter 24, verse 38 and 39. And it doesn't have any blood in it. Right now, we're not equipped to go to the third heaven. Why? Let's look at it real quick. What's before the third heaven? Well, this is the first heaven. It's the second heaven. And how do I know that? The first heaven is where birds fly. You look out there and see birds flying. That's the first. They got oxygen. They can fly. The second heaven is in, you look up into the celestial stars, and it's the second heaven. You have to have oxygen to go to the second heaven. That's why all these fighter jets and these compressed jetliners, you've got to have oxygen to breathe. That's why they're, what's that word? Compressed? That's not the right one. That's it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying, don't you? I can't remember the term.
Pressurized
systems. But without oxygen, without blood, which takes, and Jesus Christ didn't have no blood when he got his new body.
He don't need oxygen.
Don't need no oxygen. Right up there with him instantly. Is that not great?
Yes, it is.
That's exactly what's going to take place now, I'm going to tell you. But right here, I wanted to mention this to you because when he first came on the scene, we're talking back over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John the Baptist came on the scene in Mark 1. What was he preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, you know what? You're not in the kingdom of heaven. And you're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven.
He preached the kingdom of heaven.
Who? Well, yes, he did. And what did Jesus say? Let's go over and look at it. Go to Matthew. I don't have it marked in my Bible anymore, so I'm going to have to just reach for it. Here it is. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said this, verse 7. He's talking to those 12 in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying. And this is what Jesus said. If you've got a red letter Bible, you can see it. It says, go not in the way of the Gentiles. You're a Gentile in here. Okay? Jesus said, don't go to you. You're an idolater. You're an idolizer. You're scum. There's 12. That was the 12 apostles. And those 12 apostles ain't got one thing to do with you. None. They preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to show you something in a minute. I'm leading into something off your question. Now, here's what he said. Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Well, why didn't he want to go to the Samaritans? They were a mixed breed. They were Jew and Gentile. God did not want... You got to understand, the Jew was the chosen people. He had to have a clear bloodline. And he wanted to keep it that way. And the Jews just did not like the Samaritans because they were mixed. They were mixed. Now, if you can't go to the Gentile and you can't go to the Samaritans, who else is there in the world? Everybody but a Jew, everybody but a Gentile is a what? A Jew. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who Jesus said go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He never said go to a Gentile. And why do religions of all denominations preach this right here? Follow Jesus. No, you don't follow Jesus in His earthly ministry. This is earthly. This is where they all go wrong. Earthly ministry. We do not follow Jesus in an earthly ministry. We follow Him in a... I'm going to put it here. Spiritual. Heavenly ministry. He's got two ministries. This one was after He was resurrected and He spoke down to the Apostle Paul. This right here, He came and actually showed those 12 how to do it. But, back to this. I ain't through reading this yet. Well, let's read this more because this is tying in what I want to do. Verse 8. Heal the sick. Those 12 could heal the sick in verse 8. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, why would He say heal all them people? Jesus Christ healed every person that ever came to Him. And some that didn't come to Him that was far off that somebody else came. Why? Because there will be no sickness here. None. You've got to be perfect to be there. But see, they've got blood. Because they're having children. You've got to have blood to have children. That's why we're not going to have any. Once you get your new body, you ain't going to have no blood. You can't have children without blood. Now, so that's why He told them... let's go over. Let's go over somewhere. Go to Mark 16. And I've been watching some more of them snake handlers up there. You know, they earnestly believe what they do, but they're so wrong.
But how can they do that without getting...
Oh, they get bit. Now watch this. Mark 16. This is, and it doesn't say it, mankind, religions have made it say it, but if the Bible does not say this is the Great Commission. But people call it the Great Commission. In Mark 16, verse 15, and He said unto them, who? The 12. Go, well actually there were 11 here at this time. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, we're talking water now, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay, there should not be anybody sick in this world today. The Assembly of God, the Holiness, the Pentecostal, all of the people that lay hands on people. It said right there. I just read it. Did y'all hear it? Did you read it? that you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It didn't say if you didn't have enough faith. It just said lay hands on them. Is that not true? Oh, but if you go to a church that believes this stuff and they try it on you, they tell you you ain't got enough faith. You need more faith. That's not what God said. He said you can heal them all. Didn't he? Lay hands on them. All they all get. But that's a bunch of bunk. But it was true at the time right here. That's right here. And actually, it moved over into here. It moved over in here. Peter was preaching in here. He was, and the 12, after they got Matthias, who was the 12th one that replaced Judas. You know,
it says they shall, not they might.
Huh?
It says they shall lay hands, not they might lay
right.
hands.
Right. They didn't have a choice. Not that if you want to, that you shall do it. Not that if you, oh, well, I think I will. Oh, they pick and choose. Benny Hinn's the greatest fraud of all time. It makes me sick to see him. It really does. Anyway, I'm getting to a point, guys. And what I'm showing you here, most people don't know that this is Old Testament. When did the Old Testament start?
When did the Old Testament
start? Yes.
When Christ was born.
No.
When did the Old Testament start?
Yes.
That's the death of a testator.
I'm confused.
Started in Genesis.
No. Here's where it started. Exodus 19. You've got to have a covenant. Moses took the law from God. That started the New Testament. I mean the Old Testament.
That started the Ten Commandments.
Yep, right there. That's the covenant. Well, everybody believes it's Genesis. So did I used to.
Is this part of that?
Yeah. Well, you look in the book.
Yeah.
And it says that. Well, you look in the book and it says this is New Testament. But it ain't. You can go to Hebrews and find out. This is all Old Testament until the last chapter of this, the last chapter of this, the last chapter of this, and I believe the last 2 to 3 chapters of this. All of that way is all Old Testament. I don't care what that New Testament page said somebody put in there. Ain't that something?
What do you call before Exodus 19?
I don't know, Sam. I really don't know.
Call it Bible? Or
Scriptures.
It's the Holy Scriptures. I would have to go along with that. But it's not the Old Testament. But back to here. Everybody had... There's not going to be any cities. But right in here, when them 12 was running around, or those 11 until Matthias got in there, Jesus healed everybody, and they could too. Yes, Danny? Oh, okay. And so, if you had a hair lip, like we see people... Uh-oh. That's a blemish. It's a blem. You're born impotent, you know, twisted leg. That guy cannot go in here. So God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, He healed them all.
But the resurrection, when they come out of the grave with a new body, isn't that healing them all?
Who are you talking about? Us or them?
Them.
Them? Yeah, over here.
Right.
Yeah.
They got it. Resurrect, go into that.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be healed already?
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be healed before they get here.
Right.
They're coming up. They're going to be there. You know that it's in. I think it's in Matthew. But you know that it is. Let me see. Matthew.
I just think Christ was healing everybody more for a sign than necessarily going into the kingdom.
No.
The resurrection is going to take care of that.
No, he had to heal it. And matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 3, you ain't got to go there, and John the Baptist started preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean by that? What did Jesus Christ mean? Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's what it looks like, guys. I'll just go over a little bit of this here.
and clear something up for me. Like,
probably
not. I always have a problem with having children with no blood. You made a statement you can't have children with no blood. How does that happen in the thousand-year reign?
They got blood. There's people, here look, there's people coming out of the tribulation. This guy that made it through.
In other words, when they go to the thousand-year reign, they're going to have blood?
Yes. That's how you can have children. What?
That changes things, man.
No, not everybody ain't. But what, Sam? This is the rapture, okay? This is the 7 years of pure hell there. And then the second coming, then the 1,000 years here. That's not seven. Okay, this is your question then. How can you have children in here?
Yeah.
Okay, because there's humans in here that's not going to die. They're not going to take the mark. They're going to make it through. They're going to come right on through in here and start having children. So they got blood in them. They ain't dead.
So
they made
you resurrect you like Christ's body.
But I didn't say they were resurrected.
You know, like when people resurrect and get Christ-like bodies, they're not in 1,000 years. They come after that. I think that's what's confusing me.
We'll talk about it.
There's no resurrection at the second coming.
Uh-huh.
It's only after the 1,000.
The resurrection is for the body of Christ.
Resurrected the sky.
Now, I forgot where I was at. What was I telling you? Oh, yeah. I erased that to tell you this. Why did Christ say, repent, and John the Baptist said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand?
Because it was.
It was. Well, watch this, man. See, by Old Testament prophecy, they knew that in Daniel 9 and various different scriptures. They knew that there's 1 week left.
Okay.
483 years has been accomplished. As, you know, the Lord said it's going to be 490 years. And so 483 of those years is up. So you've got 1 7-year period, and they still have got, the Jews have got to pay the penalty. In other words, they're under judgment for one more week, and that week is a week of years, and it's 7 years. So, right here, when Jesus came on the scene, this is before the cross was ever there. We'll just leave the cross up. Don't be thrown off by it. Jesus was saying, repent. And John the Baptist said, repent, and actually confess your sins for remission of sins. Now, if that's the case, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean? Because all of them, and Jesus and all of them knew, all the 12 knew that there was one more week that the Jews had to undergo judgment. So if that's the case, they said, well, if that's the case, we got 7 years, and now this is before the cross. Let me take the cross off. Okay, they didn't know. This wasn't happening yet. John the Baptist came on the scene. Jesus Christ came on the scene in his earthly ministry. And they were, repent and confess your sins for remission of sins because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They knew that 1 week of 7 years still had to take place. Then they knew after that, by the scriptures, that there was going to be 1,000 years here. And the second coming was going to be right here. They knew that from the Old Testament scriptures. So, back over here, Peter, James, and John and all them were preaching this kind of stuff. Then, if you'll notice in here, after the cross, they no longer said it was at hand. If those Jews that they were preaching to, and that's the only people they were preaching to, is the Jews. If those Jews had accepted Jesus Christ, what would have happened? The 7 years would have took place. Then after the 7 years, the 1,000-year millennial reign would have took place, and the period that we're living in, called the dispensation of the grace of God, would have never happened. We would have been lost. Because it never come up. That's exactly what they were expecting. They were expecting Christ to come back, second coming. But what happened is this. What's this? If you'll notice in there, it quit saying, after the cross, right here, Peter was saying in Acts chapter 2, what did he say? Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Because in verse, 37, he said, you have crucified the Messiah. And they said, what must we do? They were scared to death. And in 238, he said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you. In other words, the Holy Spirit's coming on you. Now, so they still expected what? But the kingdom of heaven is not at hand anymore. Because they know that the rejection of all them Jews, the little flock, that's who Peter, James, and John and the 12 were preaching to, just a small amount of people believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So the whole nation of Israel, other than just a few, rejected their king. So, Peter says, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And honestly, this is the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit did come upon them. The Comforter came from heaven. Because Jesus left, and he sent the Comforter back. But they still know the Scripture has got to take place. So they were still expecting 7 years. Christ comes back for the second coming. Then the thousand-year millennial reign, and that's over with, and you go to the great white throne. Nobody prior to the Apostle Paul knew anything about the rapture or the gathering out of the church, because there was no such thing as the church that we're saved in. There's a church at Jerusalem. It started in Matthew 16, 18. And they were added to at Pentecost. You're going to have all the religious systems tell you that the church started right here at Acts chapter 2. At the day of Pentecost, it's now an outlie. They were added to. Check your Bible out and read it. So many people were added unto the church. So many people were added unto the church. Is that not correct? But no church started at Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. They were added to. It started at Matthew 16:18, as Jesus Christ was the rock. He's also our rock. But we build upon a different foundation, the same foundation, but a different way. Now, so this is what they expected. Those Jews expected, since they denied the Messiah, that they could repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Remember, the remission. Remission means saved, but not now. That means at the second coming, they're going to get their salvation. But God was mad. Does God get angry? Oh, yes, he does. He was mad because his chosen people rejected him. Now, if you'd have led the children, if you were a Jew, or you were Jesus, or you were God, and you led those people out of bondage, out of Egypt, and they turned you down and built a golden calf, they're waiting for Moses to come down because he's gone too long. They had Aaron, the priest, build a golden collar, gold and jewelry, and made a calf and started worshiping it. Oh my! But you know what? They all died except Joshua and Caleb. And then they had a new generation. They're the ones that got to go into the new promised land. But all them others didn't. Unbelief. Now, so God does get angry. So what happens here? Through their unbelief, salvation came unto the Gentiles. So this is where we really want to get started. Go to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11.
So when it talks about that they had to endure unto the end, I mean, it's quite possible that they thought that what that meant was endure that 7 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, watch this. Now, let me show you where you mentioned it up. It's Matthew 24:13 and Mark 13:13. Now, here's what it is. It's called the end. The end for them Jews is right there at the second coming. Now, that's after the 7 years of trials and tribulations. They had to endure until the end of their life or until the actual end. Now, the world's not going to stop. That's not what it means. The end is at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back. to rule the world with a rod of iron. But, you see here, the Jews, the chosen people, rejected their Messiah. He's not our Messiah. He's our Savior. They rejected the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was ticked, so what did he do? He said, just like a football game, just like a basketball, time out. I'm going to time this out. And that's what he did right here. This is nowhere in the Bible until you get to the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to go back. Hold on to Romans now. We're just getting started. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. And Saul. Who is Saul? S-A-U-L. That's a Hebrew name. And he was been studying at the feet of Gamaliel, who I call the PhD of PhDs in Judaism. Saul was a Pharisee. He was of the tribe of Benjamin in the Jewish religion. And here's what he was. And Saul, he wasn't saved here, and breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. See, everywhere Saul, everywhere these people that these apostles was preaching to, Saul wanted them dead. That's the little flock. Saul would go in there and try to arrest them, and desire to him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Anybody that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the way Peter was preaching it, which is not like we preach it, and it's different, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Then, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Basically, Saul, God said, Peter, James, John, all y'all 12, that you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, time out. I'm not doing that anymore because my people rejected me. I am going to put a pause in here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a pause. Oops. God put prophecy. Now, everything prior to this point right here, going all the way back to the first of the Bible, any prophecy was put on hold. That's why you're not going to see that we're talking about today. There ain't no prophecy taking place. Nowhere. None. Now, you got people out here who believe it, but it ain't. Because this time period that we're living in here is not in the Bible anywhere. They didn't have a clue of what it was about. Nobody knew about it until Saul, that we just read about, the Lord struck him down from heaven as he was on the way to arrest somebody, going to Damascus with letters from what? The Sanhedrin, to arrest them of that way. He said, Lord. Lord means owner. What will thou have me to do? And he says, I'm going to show you what to do. He blinded the apostle, which is Saul, but his name changed to Paul. Blinded him for 3 days. That's where it was put on hold. This is Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, right there. Now, why did he do that? Because the Jews, his chosen people, rejected him. Go to Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? When you see the words his people, you know he's talking about the Jews. He ain't talking about you. His people are the Jews. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, Paul says, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now, he told the apostle Paul, which is Saul. Now, Saul had a name change in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. His name was changed from Saul, the Hebrew name, to Paul, which was a Greek name.
When was that? Acts 13, what?
Now, let me give you, it should be Acts chapter 13, verse 9. I missed it. Then Saul, Acts 13, 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. That's where it was changed. Now, you got to understand something. This is very important. Saul, Hebrew, Jew. He was a Jew. His name has now been changed to Paul, which is a Greek name, which is a what? Roman. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was born a Roman citizen. So you've got Saul, who was a Jew. You've got Paul, who was a Roman citizen, who was a Gentile. This was a Jew. Now, ain't but two people on the face of the earth, the Jews and Gentiles. I don't care if you're black, yellow, whatever. You're a Jew or a Gentile. Now, so what do we got here? This started. Time out, he said. Now, go over to verse 11. Well, actually, go to verse 5, 11:5 of Romans. Even so then, at this present time, we're talking the time Paul was down here, not the present time today, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There was some people that God wanted Paul to go to, and it's called a remnant. I believe it was 7,000 people, but that's just me. Now, seven, the number seven is the number of spiritual perfection, by the way. So there's some people, prophecy no longer exists. You can forget the prophecy right now until this age is over. This age is called the dispensation of grace. Now, Paul, his name wasn't changed here. He started teaching something. What was he teaching? Jesus. He wasn't teaching salvation. He was teaching something like this. Right here. I'm gonna put this card. He was teaching. I'm gonna put that right there. He was teaching that Jesus Christ was, it's called the gospel of God. Remember this. It was this, that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected on the third day. Nope, not this time. He started teaching that. No salvation. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 29, Peter wrote this. I mean, Luke wrote it, but Peter said this. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. David was the king that Jesus came from the line. And his sepulcher is here with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David was, and a king, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, that's Jesus, was born according to the flesh, he would raise up Jesus to do what? Raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So that's what Paul was preaching when he first started out. Right here. There ain't no salvation in Jesus Christ being crucified, buried, and resurrected. Peter taught that. Peter himself taught that right here. So did Paul teach that. Right here at Acts 9. Now, when did Paul start preaching the first gospel that he taught? Nope.
Acts 13.
Go over to Acts 13, guys. Go over to verse 38. Because in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit separated Barnabas and Saul to go on their first missionary journey. So Acts chapter 13, let me get over there to it, verse 38. You're going to see a change here. Come on now, we can get over there, boy. Acts 13:38. That's where I'm headed. This is what the Apostle Paul said. His name's been changed. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the what? The forgiveness of sins. The first time Paul mentions it. So look, I want to make an emphasis here. Right here, as you can see, is my black lines. Nothing happens on that black line. That's just emphasis. That's when the body started. Just want you to see that. Paul started out preaching the gospel of God. I'm going to put that right here. Gospel of God. But there ain't no salvation in it. Then what did he start preaching? Gospel of, not Jesus, but gospel of Christ. There's a difference between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he didn't preach the gospel of Christ. There's a difference. So, with that knowledge right there, hold on to Romans 11. Go back over to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to show it to you real quick. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the what, guys?
Gospel of Christ.
Gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein what? The gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, we know he taught the gospel of Christ there. What is the gospel of Christ? This is the gospel of God. No salvation, but he taught it. He spent approximately, I can't remember exactly, he spent a few years teaching this because it's like this. He had no credibility with anybody. He wanted to kill those people. He wanted to imprison them. He'd give his voice so he could imprison them. Amen. He arrested people that believed in the little flock that Peter was preaching to. And now he's teaching the same thing Peter was preaching as far as the gospel of God, not the gospel of the circumcision or the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But now the Lord has took him over to Arabia, and that's in Galatians chapter 1. Don't go there. But he took him over there and he told him what I want you to preach. I want you to preach the gospel of Christ. We just read it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, that the gospel of Christ is that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected for your justification.
There's no salvation gospel, God. Why did Paul teach it?
He had to build up credibility.
I mean,
it's just like
if I know people for him, there's no salvation there.
He had to establish.
He had to establish a reputation. He had no credibility. It's just like a... What? Go ahead.
He had to establish that this man, Jesus Christ, that everybody thought was just a prophet, he had to establish that he was the Son of God and that he was their Messiah. He had to establish that first.
He established that for the Jew. It's just like today. You got so much news media and newspapers all over the world. Instantly, you put something on your Facebook, it's in Russia in 30 seconds. So the fact of it is, you don't have to tell anybody that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected. Everybody seems to know that. Maybe some pygmy over there in the middle of Africa don't know it, but the world does know that. But at the time, nobody knew that. Forget the justification.
That's what
he
they had
to establish who Jesus Christ was. You've crucified the Messiah. That's what Peter said. And now he's having to show these people that these Jews, if you notice, he went into Jewish synagogues. He had to say, that was Jesus Christ. What it was, he went into the synagogues and he told these people to build up his credibility. It's like a drunk. Like I've told you before, you got a drunk and he's falling all over the place and all of a sudden he gets saved and he quits drinking and he wants to tell somebody about the Lord. Until they see him sober for X number of months or years, he has no credibility.
Until they see that change.
Until they see that change in that individual.
But what happened to him between the resurrection, when he told them that Christ died on the cross, crucified, resurrected, he was buried and resurrected. What happened between the point, the people that died between...
Right, that Peter may have preached to them.
They would have been under Peter's gospel.
They were under Peter's gospel because we didn't have a salvation.
They would have died and went to heaven. They would have died.
Not went to heaven.
No, they would have died, and when the Lord comes back, they will meet him in...
No.
Okay, that's what...
No. Those people that heard the gospel of God... Actually, go over to Acts. Hold on to that. Romans 11.
Well, I give the ones that had sacrificed blood for their sins to be saved.
Were they still underneath the old covenant?
They were doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, go to Acts chapter 2.
Is it 11?
Huh?
You said Acts 11.
No, stay on Romans 11.
Oh, okay. Acts 2.
And this is what Peter taught. Peter ain't got nothing to do with this, but I've got to show you what Peter taught. In verse 14, this is what he told all them Jews who would not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He said in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, that's the Jews, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Now, come on down into verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, and you yourselves also know. And then come on down here and he says, verse 23, him being delivered, Jesus, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He ain't talking about nothing on salvation. He's just telling you who Jesus Christ was. You've crucified, you've buried him, and he's been resurrected. In verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be whole of it. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel, that's Israel and Judah, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Not a word about salvation in there. He goes into Peter told them the gospel of God to begin with, to get them to know who Jesus Christ was. He was their Messiah. They were crucified him. He was buried and resurrected. You crucified the Messiah, you idiots. Now, then they say, oh my God. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, after Peter told them, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how it worked itself out. Now, Paul comes on the scene. There is not another gospel of salvation other than the gospel of the kingdom of heaven that Peter was preaching. So, Paul went out and told all them Jews that Peter didn't get to, hey, this is what the situation is. Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, exactly like Peter. They're just trying to establish who Jesus Christ is. Then after a certain time period, God give him some revelations over Galatians, and this is where we go. We read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul started preaching this right here. Just read it. That's the gospel of Christ. That's what it is. Now, the gospel of Christ that's where Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected for your justification. That's this. Now, who did he preach to? Romans chapter 1, verse 17. To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Who's the Greek? It's not you. He wasn't preaching to any of y'all in here. He's preaching to the Greek. The Greeks are the one who blessed the seed of Abraham out of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. What did he say? I'll read it for you. You ain't even got to go over there. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. You're going to wake up for this other wheel. I know you are. This is what the Lord said to Abram. His name's Abraham, but at the time it was Abram. And he says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You blessed the seed of Abraham. That's who them Greeks were. They could go into the synagogue on the outside, outer court. They couldn't go into the holy place because they were Gentiles. But they're the ones in the covenants of promise. They blessed Abraham. You hated Abraham. You hated God. You didn't want nothing to do with it. Now, I'm going to show you that. These people here, they had to abide by the Jewish customs, even though they were four ordinances, and that's in Acts chapter 15. They had to abstain from fornication and three other blood things. You couldn't eat anything strangled or steal blood inked. That's Acts chapter 15. So they had ordinances they had to adhere to. But then, oh, I love this. Where are you coming in? But then, I'm going to throw this away. Maybe this will work. Let me draw this up here with the blue guys.
You got lost the drama now.
Right here. Go to Ephesians. Hold on to Romans. Well, actually, go to Romans first. I told you that God, Jesus Christ, put this prophecy on hold. There's no prophecy taking place here. Paul saved right there where that white dot is. The first one into the body of Christ. You want me to cut the air on for you?
Yeah.
Paul was the first one saved into the body of Christ. Not another soul was saved in it until Acts 13:38. And he preached the gospel of Christ. You couldn't be saved in it. Why? But before I give you that answer, I want you to look at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Paul says this. He wrote this book. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." And I wish everybody here, if you go to church somewhere, or if you're just talking to somebody, just ask people who their apostle is, who they're supposed to follow. They don't know. They're following these people, ain't they? They don't have a clue about Paul. These people ain't got nothing to do with you. The apostle Paul, it just said right there, is the apostle of the Gentiles, and you're a Gentile. Now, back up to verse 11. Paul says, "I say thee, have they," that's the Jews, "stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, the Jews fell. They have become lo am I." They're not God's people today during this time out period. They're not God's people. They're no different from you. All them Jews over there that believe in Judaism are headed straight to hell, just like all the Muslims that don't trust Jesus Christ. Or anybody in this room who's never trusted Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Unless you somehow trust it before you die. "But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke men to jealousy." Now, where did I say go prior to that? Ephesians. Oh, Ephesians, yes. Go to Ephesians. I ain't got it written down. Ephesians. chapter 2. Verse 11, 2:11. Wherefore remember, talking about you, he is now a prisoner in Rome. Prior to that, he wasn't. Not while he was this, but now, at the end of the book of Acts 28, they arrested him and took him to Rome, and he became a prisoner for you Gentiles. Now, here's what he says. Wherefore remember that you, me, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. That was all the way back. From here on back. We're called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by him. That at that time, what time is that? Time past. You were without Christ. Did the Bible say you were without Christ? It sure did. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You didn't have a dog's chance of being saved. But these people did. They blessed the seed of Abraham. You cursed the seed of Abraham, your ancestor. But verse 13, I love the but now. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were afar off, and you were, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition. Guys, there was a wall here that kept me and you out of this gospel of Christ. We'd eat anything, especially sinners. We'd eat anything that wouldn't eat us. We love oysters, catfish, raw steak. Here's what happened. But now, how did this happen? I'm going to jump back to 14, but I'm going to write something up here first. This right here is everybody that's been saved in this dispensation. Okay?
Bring them green.
That's completely green there. Up to this point here. You see some white over here. That's right. But now look. There was a middle wall that kept us out. Look at verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ. The enmity or enemy. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Those ordinances that was done right here that they had these people set up. For to make in himself of twain. Twain means two. That's this one is one and we're another. Twain is two. One new man. And it's called the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the head of that body. It's a spiritual, invisible body. And that he might reconcile, bring us back together, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Now look, this is important to remember. I'm giving you a lot of stuff. We'll go over it again. All this took place. What about black? Right here. But it was not revealed till it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Right in there. And then we, us ungodly people, could be saved. And that's when this middle wall was there. It was abolished on the cross. But it was still there in Acts 15. It was there all the way through Acts 28. And it was removed. How was it removed? Because Christ died for it, but it wasn't revealed until the Apostle Paul. Until the risen Savior told the Apostle Paul that it was removed at the cross. Now he can announce it. But now, that middle wall is gone. But now, look. You see something that I've got up here. All them people that blessed the seed of Abraham and us, we're in the same body. But Jesus Christ is his body. It's a spiritual, invisible body, and he's the head. The Apostle Paul was the first one in it. Now, if you'll notice, these green lines here represent the dispensation of the grace of God. The dispensation of grace, the whole thing. But right here is when it started being preached as far as Paul is concerned. He was in the grace. That's how that happened. But there wasn't nobody in it until he started preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, what's the gospel whereby we're saved? This green here.
Green, yeah.
It is called the gospel of the grace of God. It's the same thing as this. No difference. But see, this red here that I got up here, that wasn't to you. It was a it was the gospel of Christ to the Jew and to the Greek. Those people in the covenants of promise. You were outside. And now it's the same Savior, same saving. And now, if you'll notice, everybody, Jews, everybody is saved by one gospel. That's what it is. Now,
to those people in the red are in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And that's the gospel of Christ to the Jews only, right?
No, Jews and the Greeks.
And then the gospel of God people.
They ain't in nothing.
Okay.
There could be some of them, but we don't know that because it's not going to be salvation. He may have went back to them people and told them.
But the green and the red and made one.
Yeah, just one. So you could just
pretty much read everything.
That's right. There's a lot of people that's been taught. You see this? I've got this as the Bible. That was one of the mysteries. We'll talk about that. You see all this black? That's people who have been taught the gospel of the grace of God. And have not believed it. They're not in the body of Christ. There's still people that will be taught it out here. Some of them will become green or red. They will trust it. It all started back here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, that's where it is. He saw all the way that old Danny was going to trust Jesus. Somebody's going to preach you the gospel. Pat, right here. And that you would trust that gospel. And when you trust that gospel, you look back to the cross. And you have your atonement right now. You ain't got to wait for it. But these people that Trish was talking about earlier, Matthew 24:13, Mark 13:13, they had to endure until the end of their life or until the second coming. They don't have their atonement yet. But they will get it in Zechariah 13:1. When the fountains of cleansing will be opened up. And he'll save them. That's what took place. Now, what is this right here? That's the gospel. That's the blood of Christ. But, two more things and we're going to quit. I'm going to show you the gospel. If you don't know anything about the Bible, but this, tell them this. You can't tell somebody how to be saved if you don't know how you got saved. Okay? Just dismiss it. Ain't no sense in going out and trying it. You can't tell. I've heard people, I can't tell them what to do. I can't tell them how to be saved. Well, undoubtedly, you ain't saved then. Because you can. You may know nothing else about the Bible. And all of these, Mary's been in it with me starting in November, 8 years here. She's heard that God knows how many times, ain't you? Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification to clear you of sins. That's Romans 5:1. We've been justified. But this is the gospel Paul preached. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So we know Paul preached a gospel to the Corinthians. I mean, these guys were fleshly. I mean, they were fornicators, idolaters, and it's just bad. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Now, you ever heard, like, Custer's last stand?
Yeah.
What happened to them? They made a stand.
Yeah.
The people at the Alamo made a stand. They died believing in what was right. You're going to make a stand? You stand on it until you die. There, it's a no-so salvation. It ain't a think-so. It's not just head. It's heart. Okay. Now, by which also you are saved. He's talking about the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, I'm going to tell you something about believing in vain. There's people out there, believe this, crucified, buried, and resurrected for their justification. Now, they believe that. But they've never trusted Him. They don't know what they're saying. They want to confess their sins. You know what eternal security is about? The moment you trust this gospel, you have eternal security. You can't lose it if you denounce God. You don't want to denounce Him. But you can be a... Brother Moore said it the best in the first day I've heard it. You can be a lost believer. And I was one of them. I believe that. Didn't trust it for my own personal salvation. I heard about it, but I didn't trust it, Benny. Not for me. You got to trust it. Now, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Where did he get it? Got it from the Jesus Christ. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Did He just say He was crucified, buried, and resurrected for your justification? Forgiveness of sins. That's what He said. It can't get no better than that. That is the gospel. Go back to Ephesians real quick.
Well, where does it say trust at? Is that number two you're talking about? Chapter number two?
I've done over there, Sam. Let's see.
It's in Ephesians 1 and
13. You believe.
You have to go to, you don't have,
and then
Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you have trusted, the gospel of your salvation. In other words, the word of truth. Remember I started off with, you weren't here. I said 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Talking about Christ, in whom you, Ephesians, have also trusted. That after you heard the word of truth, what is the word of truth? It says it right there, the gospel of your salvation, in Ephesians 1:13. That's what this is, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed. You cannot be unsealed. Ephesians 4:30 tells you, you're sealed until the day of redemption. But I want to read you this. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Trisha's favorite scriptures. For by grace is unmerited favor, something you don't deserve. Matter of fact, everybody in this room, including myself, deserves to go to hell. You ain't done anything to please the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Huh? What do you mean it's a gift of God? Hold on to that. Let me go over to Romans real quick. I want to read you about a gift. Romans chapter 6. I don't want one more, John. I'm sorry about that. Verse 23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin. You sin, you need to be paid in debt. But for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, You see, the word gift again of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's right. Back over to Ephesians again. I want to make a point, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You don't work for a gift, and I don't care what preacher, teacher, theologian, anybody else tells you, that's a gift, and you can't do anything for it. You can't walk the aisle for Jesus. You can't go to the altar. You can't do this. You can't tithe. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. Nothing. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He died, you're dead. You were identified that day in His death. You were buried with Him judicially. You were resurrected from with Him. And you're sitting in heavenly places with Him right now. There is no spiritual union. All you have is spiritual blessings, since Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in heavenly places. People want to be blessed down here. I want my... See, these people just tick me off so bad. Give you money. You'll be blessed 100 times fold. That's a lie.
Sow a seed.
Sow a seed money. It's garbage. You can deal till hell froze over and it ain't going to help you none. It ain't going to keep you from getting sick. You were never guaranteed wealth. You were never guaranteed health. But you're guaranteed one thing. A seat in heavenly places. That's where all your blessings are, in spiritual places. That's Ephesians 1 verse. But let me finish this. I'm trying to make an effort here of telling you that this is a gift. And then verse 9. What's the first three words? Well, Ephesians 2, 9.
Not of works.
Not of works.
Okay, that ought to tell these people that's preaching this stuff in all these denominational systems, you can't work for it. You can't walk the aisle for Jesus. You can't pray through. He did it. See, people want to help. They want to help the Lord. You can't. If you could, He died in vain. He did it right there in AD 33 for you. And you know what? Back over here, before the first grain of sand was ever spoken into existence, what happened, John? He knew how sinful you were going to be over here.
Right.
And He loved you so much He died for you. Knowing you were a lousy, no good scumbag of the earth. Is that not right? Who ain't a lousy scumbag of the earth in here? I am. Now, for not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know what? If you could help him one way, you'd boast about it. I guarantee you. John would go out and tell somebody. Ricky really would. Pat might think about it. I'd go, I helped the Lord save somebody, or I helped the Lord save me. Liar, liar, pass on fire. That's what I'll tell you. Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you. And join us next week.